All right, we've been studying here in the Lord's Prayer, and we've been pulling from Luke there, but I wanted us to start in Matthew, just because that is the version we're more familiar with. And a lot of times when you're reading the Luke version, it seems to you mess up easy because you want to go back into the Matthew version. But the message is the same. It's not a different message. Matthew seems a little longer, a little more, especially toward the end there of the prayer. Do I need to change, Mike, Bill, change? I'm not used to holding a mic now. This might be awkward. I'm sorry? This is okay. I'll just hold it. But let's read here, Matthew 6. Starting with verse 9 there, says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We've looked at these first three petitions together, and as we come into this fourth petition, I guess we could say there's a shift from the focus that we've looked at up till now, as we looked at our Father and how that God is our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and how it is our will, it is our desire as believers this morning that the name of God would be hallowed, that it would be lifted up and placed at least in our hearts in its right position. It's not that we add to God or take away by where we place him. God is God, right? And we can't change that, and indeed would not want to. But that our prayer, our petition here is that the name of God would be hallowed in our lives, in our families, in our world today, in our nation, but even outside of our nation, in our world. We're not just so centralized to our nation that we don't consider the world. In the Great Commission, our Lord did not send us into our nation, but he said, "Go ye into all the world," right? And so this family of God is bigger than our country. It's bigger than being a U.S. citizen. It's not, those two things aren't synonymous. They're not the same thing. But the kingdom of God goes beyond borders. Amen? That as this new covenant, we're no longer teaching the prophet said, we would no longer teach just our neighbor, but all men shall know me, he said. So we're thankful to know that the family of God erases nationalities, erases skin colors, languages. We're all part of the family of God, right? And that it's so important for us to remember that. And we want to operate on that level as well, and not separate by those distinctions. And then from there, we talked last time, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And so that was, those focuses have been very kingdom oriented, if you will. They've been focusing on the work of God, who God is, the glory of God, that hallowed his name, that he is our Father. And so this morning it's going to be, there is a shift there as we get into this fourth petition. And it's a simple thought, and it's there in verse 11. It says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Give us this day our daily bread. Now, there's a couple of different ways you can look at this. Obviously, probably more than a couple, but just some of the commentaries I read in just respect to this. Now, there's some people that immediately will take this into a spiritual connotation when we're thinking about our daily bread, that it's that the most important thing is that bread that comes from heaven. And obviously, that's the truth. And we believe that to be so. But I think if we do that, we really miss a lot in this passage, because as Christ was tempted there in the wilderness, and we know how that in the ways that he was tempted, one of his responses was this, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And what's present in that statement is the fact that obviously we don't live by just natural bread, but natural bread is not eliminated, right? It's not that we don't live by bread alone, but we live by natural bread, but also that bread that came down from heaven, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But and so when we think about this prayer and we think about this fourth petition that we're looking at this morning, we're talking about our natural bread. We're talking about just natural things, things that we need. Now, anybody ever get those things? I remember they used to be on the back of I shouldn't have started that conversation. But anyway, it was on the back of the commode in my bathroom growing up. I'm sorry. But it was called the daily bread, our daily bread. And you could see what, I guess that was supposed to be your daily bread, what we needed. But that was a spiritual thing. It was Bible verses. It was just maybe some things to get us through life and to encourage us. But here, when we think about this daily bread, we are thinking about our natural things. It may be a little bit difficult for us this morning when we're thinking about our prayer and we're thinking about coming to God and praying for daily bread. It may be a little hard for us to imagine in this age of refrigerators and freezers and super Walmarts and all that we have at our disposal that we don't typically concern ourselves with daily bread. Now, obviously, we want bread, right? We need food to live, but most of us here have not, you know, there may be some isolated incidences where you've gotten up and you didn't have maybe what you wanted, but most of us have not really had to concern ourselves with having food for tomorrow or even really for today. Now, I haven't always had, you know, steak and baked potato, but you know, we've always had bread. And as I was thinking about this morning, I thought about Chell and I when we first got married. We didn't, you know, we didn't have, as far as in our house, maybe things that we would have today. We had to do without a lot of things just because. Now, what advantage we had is that I had parents as well as Chell that we could go to. And they could help us, and many times did. I'm thankful for that today when I look back and see all that my parents did to help us when we first were married because we were young and didn't have a lot. But we spent a lot of times eating beans and drinking Kool-Aid. I guess maybe that's why I ain't crazy about beans and Kool-Aid today. But we spent a lot of times doing that because, you know, we couldn't afford a whole lot else. And when we got down to the end of the week, if we had a few bucks left over and we could go out and get us a KFC and mashed potato. That was a good week for us, and we were excited about that. I don't get too excited about KFC and mashed potato anymore because if I want to, I can go out and have me a good steak at the Crown Sterling there in Lynchburg and all those things, and I'm thankful for that. But it's not that this scripture is just for our focus on when we don't have. But wrapped up in this phrase, give us this day our daily bread, there is a dependence. There is our acknowledging the fact that all that we have is from our Heavenly Father. That no matter whether you go out and you work for a living and you labor, you work 40-hour week or whatever it might be, and you get to the end, they give you a paycheck, you take that paycheck, well, you don't take it anymore, it's already in the bank, at least it is where I work, I don't even see it anymore. It's just, I'm assuming it's there, and they tell me it's there, and I get this little email telling me it's there, so I'm assuming it's in the bank, and so we have that, and we can go, and we can buy what we need, but we must never forget that God is the provider. That is he that have, even though we have gone and we've labored and we've worked and we've used our skills or talents or what we might have, wrapped up in this very phrase is the fact that God, even though I've gone out and done these things, the reality of it is that I could do nothing except for the hand of God. That even though that, you know, you can go down to Walmart, and I've been there, and Shell sent me to Walmart a few times, and she's instructed me to pick up a loaf of bread. It's the horriblest thing in the world. I don't know what to buy. I go in there, they got bread, they got rye bread, they got oat bread, they got white bread, they've got white brown bread, and I don't know. I stand there and I'm like, bread? I mean, which bread? And so I've learned, but when I first started doing it, I didn't know bread was bread. And I'd bring a loaf of bread, and it was white bread, and I thought it was the right bread, and I'd bring it home and set it on the table. She said, "You got the wrong bread." Well, it's bread. But there's so many options that we have. And so in our time, it may be difficult for us to think about it in this regard because, you know, probably in Bible times they didn't have, well, not probably, they definitely did not. They didn't have the means to lay things aside like we do today and to keep it. There obviously were ways that they did, but when they prayed, and many times when they prayed our daily bread, it was because that's what they had. They had what they needed for today. And so I want to just maybe move off just the idea of our food, but all that we have, all that's been provided for us, that we'll learn, that I have learned, and I'm sure that you have learned as well, we that have served the Lord for many years, that God is the ultimate provider. Amen. And I say this to our young people here this morning, those that are starting off on their life and preparing to get married, and those that have already been married, that it's important that you remember this, that if you always put God first, that He has promised that He would provide. Now, there may be some thoughts going into your head about different things. Think, well, you know, there's always a way. Paul, the Apostle Paul, talked about that, how that he had learned how to suffer want, and he had learned how to abound and how to be abased, and all that is true. But in that very same passage, when he's talking about that, he begins to talk about all the saints and all the believers that had helped to provide for his need, that God had moved in their hearts. And he had, so in the very phrase where he says, "I've learned to do without and I've learned to have," he also talks about the fact that God always provided. My experience is much like David when he said this. He says, "I was young and now I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread." Can anyone else testify that this morning? Amen. That you've never seen it. Now, that's not to say there hasn't happened. We can look in the book of Hebrews and we can find where some of the saints of old were destitute. They lived in caves. They had to do without. But even that in itself, if they could stand before us this morning and testify, they would, everyone guaranteed, tell you the same thing, that God always provided for them. That God was always there. That His hand was there to meet our needs. Amen? And that He was faithful, because our God is faithful. So when we go to the Lord this morning and we ask God, say this prayer, "Father, give us this day our daily bread." Now, thankful for this morning for the prayer and for the promises. I was at a singing last night, and one of the things that they do in the singing, it was free. You get to go in and listen to all this good singing, and they didn't charge you anything. But as often is the case, and I expected it, you know, they'll lift an offering. And they all kind of, you know, they do the same thing every time they do that. And somebody will come out and you know it's time. Here's the time. They're going to make their spiel. And they're going to say, "Okay, here's why you need to give an offering." They'll go on and on about why you need to give an offering. Because, you know, and you've heard it if you've been to any singing at all. And they had that last night. A woman came out and she began. There's a part that everybody dreads. You know, they're dreading it. They're thinking, "Okay, here it comes. Here's why they're here. They want my money." And so she began to talk about, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom." So give and it shall be given. Now that's a promise. Amen. God's word is true. He says if you give, it shall be given. But that's not why we give. And if that is why we give, then we say, "I'm going to give this, and then God's going to give back to me, and this is just a really good investment. This is better than the stock market. This is better than horse races. I'm going to give, and I'm guaranteed that God's going to give back to me." That's not our motivation. Here's our motivation in giving for the work of the Lord. I know we've talked about this before. We give that we might bring forth fruit. If we give to a certain ministry, if we give to a certain work, we're giving for the purpose that we might have a part in that. That we, because in reality this morning, we're laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doesn't corrupt. But as I already said this morning, particularly to our young people, that if you will put God first in your life, that's your provision. That's your provision. Now, God uses means to provide for us, right? He doesn't say, pray for your daily bread so you can sleep in the morning. Monday morning. God, give me this day our daily bread. I'm going to go ahead and go back to bed this morning. I'm going to call in because you're going to give me my daily bread. Now, that goes against Scripture. Man, because the Bible tells us, matter of fact, the book, I guess it's in the Proverbs, when they're talking about the ants and talks about considering these animals or these creatures and look at how they labor and they don't fret and all these things. And even Christ in his words, when he was talking about him providing, he talks about considering different creatures and even birds and how that God provides for them. We may look at one of those passages here shortly. But when we think about God and our giving to the work of the Lord, it's for the purpose of fruit being brought forth and that we might have a part in it, and then God will be our provider. Amen. Now, education, training, all that is necessary, and I'm not trying to make light of that, but that in itself is putting your money in bags with holes in it. Man, education of itself is not enough to provide. You can't. He's not saying trust in your education. He's not saying trust in your training. God's not telling us this morning in his word to trust in natural means. He's saying you trust me and you put me first and you too will testify one day that God was faithful. Amen. That God was faithful. The proverb said it this way: he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given will he pay him again. Matthew says it this way: and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. God is our provision. God is our provider. As we pray for our daily bread, we realize that it comes from the Lord. J.I. Packer said it this way: the prayer of a Christian is not an attempt to force God's hand, but is an humble acknowledgement of helpless and total dependence upon him. Amen. You and I this morning, when we pray to God for our daily bread, we're praying for our substance, for our needs, our basic needs. I remember coming up through school. I don't know if they still teach this. They probably do. That you, that man have three basic needs. Was it food, clothing, and shelter? And I've remembered that. And that's our basic needs. And I think they've added a fourth, a really good internet connection. I'm not sure, but anyway, that's our basic needs. It's God says he would provide for our necessities. Put a bookmark there in Matthew 6. I want to go all the way back to the Proverbs real quickly and just look at a couple verses there. Because listen to how this Proverbs puts, it's actually not a proverb of Solomon. It's by a man by the name of Agur or something like that. Most of the time we give those Proverbs to Solomon, but this one in writing starts with the words of Agur or something. But let's look at verse number 9. Verse number 8. He says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. What was the priority here? I know we could discuss that whole prayer or that whole petition unto the Lord. But the priority for this proverb is the relationship to God. That was primary. That was the first place. That was of most importance. He said, give me food convenient for me or appointed for me or measured for me. Don't let me be empty. Don't let me be removed far from me vanities and lies. Feed me with food convenient, lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord, or lest I be poor and steal in the name of my God? Take the name of my God in vain. God is our source. And that's really the shift we've done here. We've talked about hallowed be thy name. We've talked about thy kingdom, thy will be done. Now we're looking at our need. And we start off with this bread. From there, we're going to go into forgiveness. And then from there, we'll go into guidance. But we see that God is our source. And really, that's what we're doing. When we go to God and we pray in the Lord's Prayer, and we get to this part and we say, give me this day our daily bread. And you may have a full cabinet. You may have a full refrigerator. You may have a freezer downstairs with corn and beans and everything in there enough to feed an army for 6 months. But you can still pray this prayer, because you're saying, God, you are my provider. Lord, you are the source of all that I have. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to worry. I don't have to wring my hands, because it's you that have given and you have been faithful, and the same God that provided will continue to do that, because I'm your child and you're my father. Look what Paul says over in Timothy. Let's go there. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. It's one of my first messages I ever preached in another church. Shell remembers it, don't you, Shell? 1 Timothy 4? Maybe not. I don't know why I preached this, but I got up and started preaching this message here. Yeah. Talking about the last days. In the last days, there'll be... let's read it. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That was the first message I ever preached in another church. I got up there and preached about people talking about not eating meat. There's nothing particularly spiritual about being a vegetarian. Just didn't. I'd go to say you're more spiritual if you do eat meat. But that's just my argument. Probably safe to do that in here this morning. I don't think there's any vegetarians here. But that's not the point this morning. But I got up and preached that message. And boy, I was like, this is good. This is good stuff. Well, it didn't go well at all. Apparently, those people at that church I was at were vegetarians, or some of them were. And so the point here being that with respect to our daily needs or our bread in this regard, Paul says it this way: for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Amen. So when we go to God and he supplied our needs, we go to God and we say, Father, thank you for providing this, whatever it is, whether it be food, clothing, or shelter. How many thank God for what you have? Amen. God's provided that. And so we go to God and say, Father, thank you. I know I've worked a job. I know I've done this. But Lord, you've given me the very breath of life. You've given me very strength to do what I have to do. And I give you thanks for this. It's not me. I'm not just trying to be super humble this morning. I really believe that. God, it's not. If it was up to me, I tell them all the time, I'm an overachiever. I've overachieved far beyond what I'm capable of. Why? Because God has been faithful. Amen. Because God has provided my needs. And it's not what we have done, but we rest in him and know that he is able. When we come to God and we give thanks, it says, first, this food, whatever it is to be received with thanksgiving, because it is sanctified by the word of God. Now, what does that mean? This food, whatever it is, this meat. Now, I know there's some things we could get into here with this passage with respect to the meats, and there were some that would eat this or wouldn't eat that, and we don't necessarily have to do that just for the sake of time this morning. But we do understand that whatever it was and whatever was the reason from this abstaining from the meats, here the Apostle Paul says, listen, God hath created it to be received. And it's sanctified by the word of God. It means whatever this food is, whatever this meat is, has been set apart, has been sanctified to make holy by the word of God. Well, first, what does that mean? What does it mean to be sanctified by the word of God? Well, we can go all the way back to Genesis. We'll be back there in Timothy in a second. But look at Genesis chapter number 1. And we go all the way back to the garden. That's why Genesis 1 is pretty important. There's a whole lot of things that's established there in these first three chapters of the Bible. We don't just want to throw this out and say, well, I just can't believe into this just because. And I know I was on that soapbox a few weeks ago, and I won't get on that again. But look what he says over in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, and which is the fruit of all of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that they had made, and behold, or that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning was the sixth day. I did this morning as I was reading through this passage, and I took my highlighter, and I highlighted there in verse number 29, I have given you. And then I did the same thing in verse number 30 there where he says, I have given. And then verse number 31, it says that he had made. Why? Because when we go to God and we say, Father, give us this day. How many know it's just a gift? Amen. Everything that we have this morning is a gift from God. I mean, what do we have that has not been given us? All right. What is it that we possess that hasn't come from our Father? As the Word of God tells us that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? And all that we have, and even in our giving to the needs of others, when we see a need and we say, okay, I'm going to give what I have for this need. Here's what David said in his praise to God when the temple was being built and the people were given the provision for the temple. Listen how David says it here in 1 Chronicles 29:14. He says, but who am I? And what is in my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Here it is. For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. So what does that mean this morning? It means it's all God's. Everything that we possess, everything that we say, okay, I'm going to give this to God. Well, David says it here very clearly to us. It's God's. All that we have comes from you. And when we give to a need and we give to a situation or we give to a ministry or we give to someone that's destitute, however it may be, we're basically giving back to God what is his. It's not ours to hold on to. It's not ours to squeeze. I think, who was it? Was it Corey? I think it was Corey Ten Boom. I read one time where she said she had learned to hold things so lightly in her hand because it didn't hurt when God pried it from her. Amen. You know, God, he is a giver. But he will also take. But we got to be like Job. Say, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How hard is that? I can bless your name, God, when you're giving. Amen? I can go to God in thanksgiving and fall on him and say, God, thank you for your provision. Thank you for bread. But how hard is it to go on our knees to God when God's taking? I mean, that's when it's hard, isn't it? But he told his wife, he says, shall I accept good from God and not evil? And as they were singing that song last night, you talk as a foolish woman. I've got my mind made up. I've got my foot on the rock. And my mind's made up. Amen. God is still faithful. God is still God. God is still on his throne. But yet, he is the source of all that we have. And so it's sanctified by the word. What does that mean? It means that the word of God has sanctified the meat and the herb and the burnt fowls of the air. It has been sanctified by the word of God because he says it's been given to you for meat. And it's good. The fruit, the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be meat. To every beast of the earth and to every fowl of the air and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given. Good time to put a plug in for mankind and don't fall into that junk that's out there in the world today that says you're no more than an animal, other than the fact that you're bipedal. You walk on 2 feet. Most of them walk on 4. Don't buy that. You've been given dominion. Man has been given dominion. We are different from the birds and the fowls. I mean, Jesus made that clear. He says, I provided for them. Are you not much more than them? Let's look at that. I keep trying to quote it. We might as well go read it. Matthew chapter 6, we're already there, so we're going back there, but just a little bit. It's sanctified by the word, right? It's sanctified by the word because God said it was good. That's in Genesis. Look what Matthew 6 tells us, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? And he says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? What's the answer to that question? Anyone? There's an easy one. Are you not much better than they? Absolutely. Without a doubt. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They don't feel fatigue. They don't spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And here it is. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And I do, the God is our, the God who gives. Give us this day. Not he's not selling it to us. Not for sale. He's not selling his bread. He's giving it. Out of his goodness, out of his grace, out of his mercy. He's providing for our needs. If we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things shall be added unto you. God works through means, right? He works through means. We don't ask for bread and then do nothing. We have examples of work. Work is a good thing. Work's not a curse. He's given it. We may hate it. We got all those Monday morning memes we put out there. I saw one last week I liked. It was Friday the 13th. Do y'all know that Friday was Friday the 13th? Everybody make it through okay? That's good. I saw one that said Friday the 13th is better than Monday the whatever. Why? Because we got the whole work week ahead of us. But work's not a bad thing. God has given it as a means to provide for us, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for what God has, the means that he's given to us. So it's sanctified by the word. And then back in Timothy again, sanctified by the word and prayer. Sanctified by the word and our prayer. So the word of God has sanctified the meat. It has set it apart. It is considered holy by the word of God and by our prayer. Look at verse 4 there. He says, if it be received with thanksgiving. Kind of funny. I know we kind of got, when we talk about grace, we get, before we eat, we bow our head and we say grace. And if y'all like my, we are, you know, we all get together and we sit at the table. And if you're late, you show up late for dinner, first thing you ask is what? Somebody say the blessing. Like, we ain't supposed to be thankful. Somebody thanked God for me. So, is the blessing, is this, have we said the word over this food? Is it blessed now? We can eat it? Is it sanctified because somebody prayed over it? Be okay if you go ahead and bow your head and say, Father, thank you. And because you're showing thanksgiving. That's what it's about. That's what prayer is. Anyway, when we go to God in prayer and we pray over our food, it's not like we're saying, okay, Father, throw this prayer over this food so that if something bad in it, don't make me sick. No, we're saying, Father, thank you. He says this, if it be received with thanksgiving. So we receive what we have of God. It's sanctified by the word of God and by our prayer. If it be received with thanksgiving. So in this, the Lord's Prayer that we've been looking at, we've been studying, it may seem like it's absent because really there's no place there where it tells us, okay, be thankful. This is the thankful part. But it's all wrapped in it together, isn't it? And so when we go to God and we ask God, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, wrapped in that is that thanksgiving. It's sort of implied. The Apostle Paul talks about the same thing over here in Philippians chapter number 4. Look what he says there. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. We're coming to God with a request. We're not commanding him. We're not demanding something of God. We're coming to him with a request, with our thanksgiving. And if we have a need, we're saying, God, give us this day our daily bread. We are to be alert of the very fact that our need, we have a daily need. We have a need of food. But we're also to be alert of the fact that the reality of God's daily provision for our needs. God, you load us daily, the Bible says. Daily we're loaded with his benefits. Amen. So often it is, I guess, that ungratefulness does, or abundance will bring about ungratefulness. If we have much, sometimes we tend to take things for granted. Let's not be that person, or let's not be those people, but realize that it's God that supplies our need. What we're here in Philippians 4, let's just read on a little further there. As the Apostle Paul talks about his need being supplied. Look at verse 10. He says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. You had a desire to provide for my need, but there you didn't have a chance to do that. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am in, I am therewith to be content. He says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. And you guys have heard me preach that enough to know that that verse is so often, that verse 13 is just pulled out. It's used with respect to anything you're trying to accomplish in life. You can quote this verse and God will just help you to do it. And you're just going to do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So you say these words and then that means you're going to be successful. But that's not Paul's point here. His point is, I've learned both to abound and to suffer need. I've learned to have and to not have. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. God will give us the strength to go through whatever storm we may have to go through. But he's also able to take the storm away, right? Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction, or you provided for my need. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. You're the only one that gave to my need. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound and am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to God, unto God our, and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, here the Apostle Paul is taking a very natural thing of these people getting a burden in their heart to send an offering to Paul wherever he's ministering, here in Thessalonica particularly, that these Philippians got together and said, hey, let's send Apostle Paul an offering. And so they just do a very natural thing. They collect an offering, whatever it is, and they send it to him by the hand of Epaphroditus, and it gets there. And this very natural thing, here Paul, when he describes it as this. He says, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. That's a spiritual thing, isn't it? So Paul takes a very natural thing of just giving an offering to a ministry or to a work and compares it to the odor that went up from the sacrifice in the holy place and went unto God as a sweet-smelling savor. A spiritual work, but yet a very done by a natural means. And then he wraps it up by saying this, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He is our provider, isn't he? Amen. I'm sure if I could open this up this morning and gave you an opportunity, every one of us here could testify of a fact or a time in our life when we saw the hand of God supply our need, reach in a situation, and it could be something so simple that, you know, I can remember a couple instances in my life when, you know, we wanted something. It was just a want. It wasn't even necessarily a need. And somehow God opened up an opportunity for that need to be supplied. I remember one time, this is nothing. It was like nothing to anyone else. And I wanted a pair of white tennis shoes. That was it. I just wanted a pair of white tennis shoes. We really couldn't afford it at the time. I just wanted white tennis shoes. I don't even know if I told you all this. And, I mean, tennis shoes were expensive even back then. But I went to a store one time, and they had a pair of used tennis shoes, white tennis, exactly the kind I wanted, exactly the brand I wanted, for $10. Now, they came with, like, some cat hair inside, but I just kind of thought that was just extra. But, so anyway, I paid $10, and I was riding down the road, and it just dawned on me. It was like the day before, I said, I would like to have some white tennis shoes. I don't know why, and $10 white tennis shoes. I got them, I put them, even with the cat hair. Took them home, I was excited about the white. I think I may have told you that, I don't remember. But it was just something so simple. And, you know, I could just blow through that and say, ah, it's no big deal. It's just kind of a coincidence. But it wasn't to me. I mean, it was just something simple. And I looked at it, I said, God, thank you. And I gave him thanks. I said, Father, thank you for that. I didn't need them. It was just a want, but yet you, it kind of shows the care. I mean, he says it this way, that even the very hairs of your head are numbered. That's how close attention our Creator pays to each one of us. Detail. Closeness. Relationship. He hadn't just put you out here and said, okay, I give you breath, I give you life, go on, do the best you can, and I'll see you when you're done. Amen. God doesn't do that. But he has told us to seek him first. I'm going to leave you with that this morning, because I've just been thinking about a lot this week, just how God, Lord, you have been faithful to us. Every one of us sitting here this morning, I guarantee you'll testify the same thing. God's been faithful to you. And really, it's a lot of it, you know. I heard an old man once say one time, I don't know. He says, God's been good to me, but I've been pretty good to him. It seemed kind of like, whoa, when I heard it. But you know what? It means something. It means something to walk faithful to God. Man, the whole world may give up and turn back. You keep walking. You keep serving. You keep ministering. You keep doing what God's called you to do. You say, well, I don't know what God's called me to do yet. Well, just keep doing what you're doing and find out what God's called you to do, because he's called you to do something. Amen? He calls. He empowers. He gives us the strength. But as we go to the Lord this morning and we pray and we come to God and we say, Father, give us this day our daily bread. We trust him every day. You may not have an abundance. You may not have, well, I need to lay up. I need to have, and that's good, and that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But just trust the Lord. I was reading a story this week there in one of the books I have, and it was telling a story about, I guess it was the Korean War. After the Korean War, there was a lot of orphans that were left, and from the parents being killed or moved. And so they had these orphanages that were set up for these small children. And they had food for them. There was enough food, but yet it was just a daily provision. And so they were feeding the children, and they were being fed, but they have found that the children weren't sleeping good at night. And so they began to ask the children, said, why, you know, why are you not, what's going on? Why are you not sleeping well? You know, most of them didn't know, but what they determined was that the reason they didn't sleep very well, because they were afraid that they wouldn't have provision for the next day. And as the story goes, and it seemed pretty accurate, that what they did was that they went and they took bread and they set it in each of the children's hands. Before they went to bed, it wasn't for them to eat. It was just for them to see that, hey, you've got bread for tomorrow. And they said that after that, the problem went away, because they were able to trust. They, okay, well, I'll be good for tomorrow too. Now, you and I this morning, we don't need bread in our hand to trust God. But we know that the God that provided. God sent food to one of his prophets through a raven. He called a raven. Now, how God calls a raven, I don't know. But he called a raven, and he moved a bird to go somewhere and get food and fly it in by a brook and provide for his prophet. Amen? That's God. So, well, I've got bread at home. Yeah, I know you do. And I'm thankful for that. But know where it comes from. Amen? It comes from God. You may not be worried about what you're eating tomorrow, but we do know. And as we pray, every time we pray, say, Father, I give you thank God. This food that we're about to eat, it's sanctified by your word, because you said it was good. You said you gave it to us for food. As he told Peter, he says, what I've made, let no man call common or unclean. Rise and eat, Peter. It's sanctified by that word of God. How many is thankful for the word of God that gives us instruction, that gives us direction? We don't have to wonder what we know, because God's word says it that way. But then it's sanctified by your word and sanctified by our prayer as we receive it with thanksgiving, knowing that it's God that provides for us. Amen. I know I've quoted him before, but we don't want to be, as I think it was R.W. Moore, you say, don't want to be like a hog eating acorns, and you never look up to see where it comes from. Amen. Because our provisions comes from the Lord today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. God, we're thankful for this morning, for your promises. God, that you have provided. Lord, you've promised in your word that you would provide our needs, God. That, Lord, you are our Father, and you know that we have needs. God, you know that we need bread. And you said for us not to worry about it. You said don't toil, don't fret, don't spin, because your Heavenly Father provides for the birds, the fowls, and are we not much more than them? God, whatever we have, Lord, is from you. God, we recognize that this morning. All that we have, all our provision, all that we've worked for, all of our bank accounts, God, it's from you. You've provided, you've given it to us. And all that we're doing, Lord, and when we give, is give back what you, it's yours. But God, we are so thankful this morning to be your child, Lord, that you are our Heavenly Father. Lord, and we trust you, Lord God, and we put our trust in you, and we're thankful for strength, God. We're thankful for health, God, that we can work a job. Lord, we're thankful for houses. Lord, we're thankful for our clothing. Lord, all that we have, God's from you, and we give you praise for it. As the Apostle Paul told him, that's in you, God, that we live and move and have our being. And we give you praise for it this morning. God, may we be ever thankful. God, let us be identified as a thankful people. As we receive with thanksgiving. And we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Amen.